Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, April 17th, 8:43 Central Time. It is time for Creation Club with Pastor Warren Wirth. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy Friday to you, sir.
And to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got a number of things on the plate for Creation Club today. What's the first item up today?
Well, the first item is an announcement about an upcoming conference, and I want to make something clear. Last Friday, since you were out of town, we played an encore presentation from a previous year, and in connection with that, we had an announcement about a conference, too. So that was a conference in the year 2014. This is a conference coming up this year, 2015. The conference will be July 6 to 8 at Ann Arbor, Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan. The topic of the conference is the origin of diverse kinds of life, dinosaurs. So for all those people interested in dinosaurs and the question, I wonder how dinosaur fossils fit into the biblical narrative of creation, this is a conference for you. It will be broadcast to the campus of Concordia Mequon, where the first two conferences on creation were held. It's a three-day event. It's open to Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastors, teachers, and lay people, and to anyone with an interest in defending creation, and or who has questions, perhaps, about creation versus evolution. And again, with this question, how do the dinosaurs fit into the biblical narrative? Some keynote speakers at this conference will be Dr. Kevin Anderson. He's an author, speaker, and editor-in-chief of the Creation Research Society Quarterly. He will discuss soft dinosaur tissue in his talk. And then Dr. Tim Clary from the Institute of Creation Research will discuss four dinosaur myths commonly taught to the public. Dr. Joel Heck, Reverend Dr. Mm-hmm. Joel Heck, professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas, in Austin, will present a plenary session that examines the impact of Darwinism on our world today. And Dr. Gary Locklear, a computer science professor at Concordia Mequon, will lead a presentation on the positive evidence for the creation of diverse forms of life. Dr. Heck is quoted here saying, evidence continues to mount in support of creationism. At this conference, we'll examine facts that like the presence of collagen in dinosaur remains, a substance that lasts up to 900,000 years, indicating a more recent extinction of dinosaurs that's not at all consistent with the theory that dinosaurs became extinct 65 million years ago. Registration deadline is June 22nd. The fee is $55 per person. There are reduced rates for additional members of the same family or church staff. There will be on-campus housing. There's also a remote conference attendance available. So for more information about all of this, you can go to societyofcreation.org/conferences, societyofcreation.org/conferences. And again, this conference is July 6, 7, and 8 at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's maybe you can put a link on
sure.
The KFUO website for that.
Yeah. Concordia University, Wisconsin, and Concordia University, Ann Arbor are one entity now. So the live event will be happening at the Ann Arbor campus, but as I understand it, they'll also be streaming it, broadcasting it to the Wisconsin campus as well. So you can,
yes,
you can also watch it from that remote location of the Wisconsin campus. That's great that they're doing that. That's
absolutely. I'm just so excited that they're having these conferences and that more and more people are being made aware of the fact that the evidence is mounting,
mm-hmm,
for creation and that they don't need to be intimidated by the theory of evolution, even though it is still so prevalent all over the place and the people who promote it can be very intimidating. And yet this information is very exciting. In fact, let's talk about one of those things today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they mentioned in here that the speakers are going to be talking about soft tissues in dinosaurs. Dr. Kevin Anderson, one of the speakers, will be discussing that at this conference. And you had sent to me an article from the Institute for Creation Research. It was posted in 2011, but it's still very relevant today and ties right into this idea. You know, for the past 20 years or so, people have been studying soft tissues found inside fossilized dinosaurs. And this is a remarkable thing. Nobody knew that there would be soft tissues inside of them. People assumed it, the whole thing was fossilized and it's completely mineralized. There would be no soft tissues left. And then when removing a large T-Rex fossil a number of years ago, they cut it open and it, so that they could remove it because it was so large and heavy to remove from its site and to get it to a museum, and they were shocked that there were soft things inside. And then the question was, well, is this really soft tissue from the original organism, or is this just something that is soft, but it's really from bacteria and stuff of more recent origin, and that has nothing to do with the original tissues of the original dead carcass? Well, it turns out that many, many tests have been done. ICR News, that's Institute for Creation Research News, has featured over 20 cases of original soft tissues found in fossilized remains around the world. Since tissues like skin and cartilage are known to spontaneously decay in only thousands of years, these published findings clearly show that the fossils could not be millions of years old. Now, these things have been tested, and the results have been published in peer-reviewed journals around the world. And over the years, they've used a number of different detection methods, but this article that you sent to me includes information from a team of researchers using special equipment at the Max Lab in Lund, Sweden. And they applied more than six different techniques to verify that tissues from inside a Cretaceous mosasaur humerus bone, which was kept in the Royal Institute of Natural Sciences of Belgium for many years, consist of mosasaur and not microbial molecules. And so they used a number of different techniques, and this article explains the different techniques they used. And what they found is that using chemical techniques, using carbon-14 dating, they used electron microscope testing and so forth, and they found that what they see in these examples are actual protein fibers. In fact, they looked like recent bone proteins, so they checked out some more things here, and they suggested that the biological material in the fossils came from, evolutionists suggested that the biological material in the fossils came from bacteria of recent origin instead of the original tissue. All these tests point in the other direction. For example, they found substances that are not found in bacteria at all, but are in the protein fibers and so forth of living organisms such as reptiles and mammals and so forth. And so they found especially, this is a quotation, potentially indicative of fibrous structural proteins such as collagen or its degradation products. But in only thousands of years, even in sterile collagen examples, it degrades into smaller protein molecules. It would be completely degraded into dust after only 30,000 years. And so, again, this is exciting because it appears to be material from the original organism, its original dinosaur, not from recent bacteria or something else, and it couldn't be more than 30,000 years at the most, and certainly not the 70 million years old that they had suggested, the people who want to believe the evolutionary fairy tale. Also, they found DNA, and the paper here mentions that the people were digitally comparing the DNA sequences to other things in their database, although they did not publish the results. So that leaves the question out there, you know, how old was the DNA and what kind of creature is it from? But again, DNA would not be recognizable even in little bitty sequences after 10,000 years. So you see that what they're finding here is that you've got a dinosaur that the evolutionists are telling us the fossil is more than 70 million years old, and now there's chemical evidence from these soft tissues inside that it's probably not even 10,000 years old for this stuff to have survived. And there's more and more. There's another thing about the carbon-14 in it. And the fact, you know, over 70 million years old, there shouldn't be any carbon-14, but the amount of carbon-14 that they found in this would indicate, again, a much, much younger date, only thousands of years old, not millions and millions of years old. So, again, what's the conclusion of all of this? the non-mineralized collagen protein, the DNA, the carbon-14, all of these things point to something that is well in accord with the Bible's story of creation and the great flood of Noah's day, which would account for these animals being rapidly buried in sediment and thus fossilized. And so it fits right in with the Bible's account of creation, the flood and the fall and all of this kind of stuff. It does not fit the evolutionary fairy tale of millions and billions of years. And so there's really exciting news when you consider this. And our listeners can find this kind of information. This particular thing is, you can find it at the Institute for Creation Research website. You had sent this to me from there. And if one would just Google Institute for Creation Research, you can find this article there.
Absolutely. They were researching the soft tissue from this this dinosaur. That made me think also about the release of a film coming up in June, Jurassic World.
Ah. Yes, another science fiction movie, right?
right.
Based on, you know, the whole story of dinosaurs is exciting to people, and science fiction writers love to have this idea that maybe we could resurrect them and have dinosaurs, you know, in a park or something, and then it tells a very interesting story. But those movie versions take for granted that evolution is true, mm-hmm. and it's just another way that they sell the idea of evolution without people really thinking about the facts. So it's the moving picture and the storytelling captures people's imagination and teaches without them actually having to think through what's the scientific evidence. Speaking of scientific evidence, I don't know if we have two. We have a few minutes left.
Sure, yeah, we have about 3 minutes.
There was another thing that was made big headlines just last week, that scientists just found the first evidence for liquid water on Mars. Big headlines, and I've seen it in numerous places. The Mars rover recently did find evidence for liquid water on Mars. But when you read all the words, you know, what they want to do with this is make you think, so there probably is life on Mars. Well, not so much. If you read the
whole article. Don't get too excited.
Yeah, not so much. What they determined is that there are tiny amounts of water vapor that condense as a liquid in the planet's soil at night and evaporate away in the morning. And again, they use the word pooling, but they drilled down just a few centimeters, about 5 centimeters into the soil, and it appears that this transient liquid water forms within the uppermost 5 centimeters of the soil overnight and dries out at sunrise. And the reason they believe it's liquid instead of just ice is because of high amounts of percolate salts in the soil, which would lower the melting point so that it would be at a temperature with that water would ordinarily freeze because of the high salt content. They believe it remains in a liquid state rather than the solid state of ice. But very, 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 it would be, you know, brine. Salty water brine, and in very, very small amounts. And they didn't actually measure the water per se. What they did is they were measuring the relative humidity, the air pressure, and other such things, by the humidity, air pressure, and temperature levels above and below the soil surface, they determined that they had the right conditions so that there's probably liquid water in the soil. So, again, you have to read all the words to get what actually they did find. And, you know, that does not disagree with creation at all. In fact, the most recent issue of the magazine, Answers Magazine, from the Answers in Genesis people, has a whole article about how people who believe in creation now have a new understanding of what Mars would have been like previously, that it probably did have a lot of water, just as the evolutionists believe. The difference is we don't believe in billions and billions of years. We believe that this would have been within the biblical framework within thousands of years. Now, we don't know, because we weren't back there, you know, 4 or 5 thousand years ago either on Mars to be able to check it out, but there does seem to be evidence from these space probes that Mars at one time had a lot more water, and now that water is gone for the most part, and there's only a small amount of water. It's very cold and very dry, for the most part, on the planet, not hospitable to life at all. And even this secular article that you found, or I guess I sent it to you from Vox, says in more than one place in the article, it says this doesn't mean there's currently life on Mars. But they don't want to give up the idea that there could have been life that evolved billions of years ago. But what one has to be reminded of is scientific evidence today, people have never seen life arise from non-living stuff in any research that's been done as long as we've been doing research. So while they would like to believe if there's water, there could be life, on planet Earth there's life that God created, so that when we have all this water, we also have a lot of life. But without God to create that life, sterile water does not produce life. And that's pretty well a scientific law, isn't
right.
it? That life comes from life. Life does not come from non-living matter. Except if you believe in evolution as a religious or philosophical article of faith, then in spite of the evidence, you want to believe it. And that's where they are. So we believe the God story of creation, and especially always bring it back to the gospel, that we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, who is the life creator and the life giver.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wirth.
You are welcome.
We'll talk again in the not so distant future.
Very good.
Thanks. Take care. Morning prayer up next.